same two lessons that Jesus wants to teach us today. Very few Christians have learned those two lessons. But if you learn those two lessons, it will make a tremendous difference in your life. The first one is in John chapter 15. And verse 5, the last part. Where it says, without me, you can do nothing. Now that's not a lesson that the disciples learned easily, and it's not a lesson that many believers learn easily. Because if we really had learned that lesson, we would live a life of constant dependence upon God for everything. That is the meaning of living by faith. Today, a lot of people place emphasis on faith as a means of getting things from God. And because man is basically selfish, he likes to hear messages on how he can get things from God. But Jesus didn't come to teach us how to get things from God. That would be leaving us in our selfish, self-centered condition. In fact, the New Testament teaches us how to live by faith. And that is to live in constant dependence upon God for everything. But we will never want such a life unless we first learn that without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Just think of that verse for a moment. If it is really true that without Christ, I can do nothing, then everything in my life that I do without the Lord ultimately will amount to nothing. You must remember that. There are a lot of things that believers do apart from the Lord. Though it looks as though it's going to accomplish something right now, finally, it will amount to nothing. There are a lot of things that are planted by man today. But Jesus said in Matthew 15 that every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will one day be pulled up. One day he'll be pulled up, definitely. So that's the first lesson that Jesus wanted us to learn. And the second lesson the Lord wants us to learn is the opposite of that. And that's in Philippians 4, verse 13. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. I can do all things through him who strengthens
me.
These are two sides of one coin.
நானே நீதிபரோடு சத்தியம் காணுகிறது.
One side is without Jesus we can do nothing.
அந்த ஒரு பாவத்தை என்ன பண்ணணும் கூட அவன் கொண்டு ஜீவா சாத்தியமல்ல.
Another side is with the Lord's help I can do everything.
அந்த மறு பாவத்தை முடிக்கிற காணணும் என்ன சக்தனாகிறது மாத்திரம் என் சகலத்திற்கு மதியாகும்.
That means there is absolutely nothing that God wants me to do in life which I cannot do. Everything that God wants me to do, I can do through the Lord's help. There is no need to complain about anything. There is no situation which is too difficult for God to handle.
And
this is the one truth that the Lord, this is the truth that the Lord wanted to keep on emphasizing to his disciples. And I want to show you a few examples of this from the Gospel of John. How the Lord tried to teach his disciples that without him they could do nothing. And at the same time, with him, they could do everything. The first example we look at is in John's Gospel, chapter 2. Here we read of the marriage of Cana where they didn't have any wine. You know that this is a miracle, the first miracle that Jesus did. But I want you also to know that every miracle was also a parable. What is a parable? A parable is a story which has got a spiritual meaning. So, every miracle that Jesus did, there was a spiritual truth that Jesus wanted to convey to his disciples through that miracle also. And that's why, here in John 2, verse 11, he doesn't call this a miracle. He says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of
Galilee.
See, John the Apostle calls this a sign. Because the miracle was a parable. There was a message in it. And what was the message in it? You know, normally in a wedding, you make very careful plans and arrangements so that nothing goes wrong. If there is one function for which people take maximum precaution and planning, it's a wedding. I'm sure that these people would have made a lot of preparations for the wedding. They knew the exact number of guests that were coming. And yet, they ran out of wine. Now, what the Lord was trying to teach his disciples and everybody there was this. No matter how carefully you plan your life, no matter how clever you are and how you think you got everything worked out, something will still go
wrong.
There are people who plan for their retirement, they feel they have laid up enough money, just like the parable Jesus said, I've got enough now, now I can go back and retire. And then you go back and something goes wrong. That's the lesson we need to learn. Without the Lord, we really are not going to make it. And the other truth here was that in that situation, if they turned to Him, they could solve that problem. And you see there, when they came to the Lord with this message, and notice here that Jesus did not do every part of that miracle Himself. It says here there were six water pots, verse
6,
containing 20 or 30 gallons each. That means each water pot contained about 100 liters. So six water pots means 600
liters.
And Jesus could have created wine in those water pots from nothing. He could have turned air into wine. That's no problem for him. But if he did that, he'd have done it all alone. And one of the things that Jesus wanted to teach His disciples was that He doesn't want to work alone. He wants to work together with His disciples. He wants them to do something, and He do something, and then the miracle will be over. Jesus once said, "Take my yoke upon you." He calls us His co-workers. The Bible says that we are the bride of Jesus Christ. Just like God gave Eve to be a helper for Adam, God has given us to be helpers to Jesus Christ. There was a particular work that God had for Adam. He was to be a gardener in Eden. And for that work, God gave him a helper, Eve. And there's a particular work that Jesus has to do on this earth. And for that work, God has given Jesus a helper. His bride. That's you and me. I wonder whether we realize this. That we are calling is to help Jesus in His work,
aren't we?
So, the Lord says, okay, we're going to do this together. Like you take my yoke upon you. It's like a senior bullock telling a junior bullock, put this yoke upon your neck and I'll teach you how to plow a straight furrow. In other words, the Christian life is meant to be a partnership. Where we're supposed to do everything together with the Lord.
Everything.
Whether you work in an office,
you
know, you may not have known it, but you're supposed to work there together with the
Lord.
Everything in life, God has created us so that we do it together with
Jesus.
For me, this has been a very exciting experience. For the last 32 years, I have been preaching God's Word. And it's wonderful to know that I don't have to do it alone.
You
know, to do it alone would be such a strain. But to do it together with the Lord, that's exciting. Many things become a burden when you have to do it alone.
பல காரியங்களும் நம்ம கல்ச்சி செய்யறது போல நமக்கு அசுஸ்தல் உருவாகும்.
Many of you mothers for small children.
நமக்கு சிறிய குட்டிகளுள்ள மாதாக்கள்.
And when you think of the prospect of bringing them up in this evil world, it can be a burden. The good news is
that
Jesus wants to do it together with you. You don't have to do it alone. There is nothing in life that you have to do alone. A lot of believers, their lives are lonely, but they're trying to do things alone. I'm never lonely. Because I don't have to do anything in life alone. You don't have to do anything in life alone.
You've
got to bring up children, Jesus and you can bring those children up together. Husband and wife, you don't have to manage your children alone. The Lord is there to help. So we see here, Jesus told the servants, you fill the water pots with water. So you do one part. I'll do the other part. You fill the water pots and I'll turn it into wine. That's God's way. He gives us the easy part to do and He does the difficult
part.
Which is the easy part? To fill the water pots with water, that's not difficult. Supposing He had told them, I'll fill the water pots with water and you turn them into wine. But He never tells us that. He'll never tell you to do the difficult part. I mean, if a father and his 4-year-old son are doing something together, who's going to do the difficult part? That's how it is with Jesus. He says, you do the easy part. You fill the water pots with water, I'll do the difficult part, I'll turn it into wine. And then you see this wonderful thing. After He turned the water into wine, He just withdrew. And He told those servants, now you throw it out and take it out to the people. And the people never knew then back there in the kitchen, Jesus was the one who turned the water into wine. And when the servants brought the water, who brought this wine to the people, they were amazed.
அவர் அற்புதப்படுகிறார்.
Because it says here in verse 9, they didn't know where it came from, the servants knew. And then they found this wine was so much better than they had ever tasted before. That's how the Lord calls us to serve Him. When I first started serving the Lord, I did not know this way. My life was a strain. I thought, I have to fill the water pots, I have to turn the water into wine, and I have to go and serve it out to him. See, preaching the word of God is something like serving wine to a lot of
people.
But because we are limited human beings, we don't have wine. I certainly don't have it. And I thought, what a job this is. Such a strain to every time I give a message. And, although, what do I have to give to people? It's not interesting, it's water. And that's all that a lot of preachers give to their people, water. Next Sunday, water. Whole year, water. But it need not be like that. You know, if we trust in the Lord, and if we lean upon Him, and trust Him, even though we have only water to start with, by the time people get it, it's wine. Many, many years ago, I said, Lord, that's the type of ministry I want. Or even though I have only water, when I give it to people, it's not
really
wine. And when they have tasted it, they
say,
boy, we never heard anything like this before. Who can do that? People think I'm doing it. These people, not the servants, did it. Servants didn't do that. That was Jesus behind the scenes. You know, any one of us can serve the Lord. If you learn these two lessons, without Jesus, you can do nothing. With Him, you can do everything. Everything that God wants you to do, whether to be a preacher or a mother, or when you have a problem working in your office. I remember one of my sons wrote to me once that he was having a problem. He's a computer software engineer and he was having a problem working on something in his computer program. I said, why don't you ask the Lord to help you solve that program in that computer software? Do you think the Lord can't do such things? There's a verse in the Bible which says, you don't have because you don't ask. There's nothing the Lord is not interested in helping you with. Everything that you have to do, He's there to help you. So that's what I told him. Then the problem was solved.
അപ്പോൾ ആ പ്രശ്നം പരിഹരിക്കപ്പെട്ടു.
I want to encourage you to try that.
നിങ്ങൾ ഓരോരുത്തരും അത് പരിശോധിക്കുക.
A Hindu person who is very reluctant to believe in Jesus Christ. Finally, I told him this. I said, well, one day in your life you'll run into some problem which nobody can solve. In that day, and I want you to remember what I'm telling you right now.
ഇപ്പോൾ ഞാൻ പറയുന്ന കാര്യം നീ അന്ന് ഓർക്കുവാനാണ് ഞാൻ നിന്നോട്
ആഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നത്.
യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ അപേക്ഷിക്കുക.
Lord, please solve this problem.
കർത്താവേ, യേശുവേ, ഈ പ്രശ്നം നീ പരിഹരിക്കുക.
And see if God does the miracle.
അന്ന് നിനക്ക് അറിയുവാൻ സാധിക്കും അവിടെ ദൈവം ഒരു അത്ഭുതം ചെയ്യുന്നു.
God is a good God.
ദൈവം നല്ലവനായ ദൈവമാണ്.
He wants to teach us to live by faith.
നമ്മൾ വിശ്വാസത്താൽ എങ്ങനെ ജീവിക്കണമെന്ന് പഠിക്കുക എന്നാണ് അവൻ
ആഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നത്.
വിശ്വാസം എന്നാൽ നമ്മളാൽ പരിഹരിക്കാൻ കഴിയാത്ത പൂർണ്ണമായിട്ടും കർത്താവിലേക്ക് ചാരുക
എന്നുള്ളതാണ്.
എന്റെ അപ്പോഴത്തെ ആവശ്യത്തിന് ആവശ്യമായ കൃപ പ്രാപിക്കുക
എന്നുള്ളതാണ്.
ഇത് സംഭവിക്കുമ്പോൾ
എനിക്ക്
പ്രവൃത്തി ചെയ്യുവാൻ സാധ്യമല്ലാതിരുമ്പോൾ
It says here that Jesus manifested his glory. Verse
11.
So, the glory of Jesus Christ is manifested through weak people like you and me. When we take our weakness to him and he transforms it and does a miracle through that.
നമ്മുടെ ബലഹീനമായിട്ടുള്ള ദൈവസന്നിധിയിലേക്ക് കടന്നു വരുമ്പോൾ അവൻ അതിനെ എടുത്ത് അതിനുമായി
വീഞ്ഞാക്കി
മാറ്റും. ഞാനാണ് ഈ വെള്ളം വീഞ്ഞാക്കി മാറ്റിയത്.
Really met that person's needs.
എന്നോട് പറയാൻ സാധിക്കും ഞാൻ കൊടുത്ത സന്ദേശം ആ സഹോദരന്റെ ആവശ്യത്തിന് ഉതകുന്നതായിരുന്നു.
How can I do that? I don't even know that person. I don't know what his need is. So he God who knew his need and met him.
The Christian life is a wonderful life.
ജീവജലനദികൾ ഒഴുകുന്നതിനെ കുറിച്ച് പറയുന്നു.
നദിയും
പമ്പുമായിട്ട്
വ്യത്യാസം
അധികം
പല ക്രിസ്ത്യാനികളുടെയും നിത്യ ജീവിതം ഇങ്ങനെയാണ്.
അധ്വാനിക്കുക
അധ്വാനിക്കാതെ ശേഷം അല്പം വെള്ളം
പുറത്തുണ്ടോ
ഒരു നദി ഒഴുകുന്നത് അവിടെ
അതെ
ആ ഒഴുക്കിനെ അത് ആസ്വദിച്ചുകൊണ്ട് ഒഴുകുന്ന പോലെ
നോക്കുന്നു.
നിങ്ങളുടെ നിത്യ ജീവിതം ഔണമാകാനാണ് കർത്താവ്
ആഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നത്.
ഇപ്പോൾ നിങ്ങളുടെ ജീവിതത്തിൽ ആത്മം പോലെ
ആയിരിക്കാം.
നിങ്ങളുടെ ജീവിതത്തിലെ കുടുതലുകളെങ്ങനെ ആകുവാനാണ്
ആഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നില്ല.
നിങ്ങളുടെ ജീവിതം ഒരു നദി ഒഴുകുന്ന പോലെ ആകുവാനാണ് ആഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നത്.
But very often God can't do that because your conscience is not clear.
പലപ്പോഴും ദൈവം ജീവിതത്തിൽ നിങ്ങളുടെ ജീവിക്കുവാൻ സാധ്യമല്ല. കാരണം നിങ്ങളുടെ മനസ്സാക്ഷി ശുദ്ധമല്ല.
Something in your life that is blocking the flow of that river.
ആ നദിയുടെ ആ ഒഴുക്കിനെ നിങ്ങളുടെ ജീവിതത്തിലൂടെ എന്തോ തടസ്സപ്പെടുത്തുന്നു.
Pipe that brings water to your tap in your kitchen is blocked. Some people think if we get somebody to pray for us, all our problems will be solved. You can get 25 men of God to come and lay hands on that tap and pray, nothing will happen. That's what happens. A lot of you go to different meetings and people lay hands on you. You have to apologize to someone. Too proud to go and humble yourself and ask for
help.
I'm not going to ask you to come here for me to lay hands on you and pray for me. That's easy. I'm going to tell you to do the more difficult thing. Go and ask forgiveness from that person you wronged. Don't fool yourself. You can't move God. Everything is not solved by somebody praying for you. Some things God says, go and clear that blockage in your life. You don't know what you're missing. Every day you keep that fight block, you are missing something. I want to show you another example in John's Gospel, chapter 6. Here also the lesson was the same. Here we read of a time when there were a great multitude of people following Jesus. They did not have anything to eat. And we read here that Jesus said, give them something to eat. And it says in John 6, verse 6, that Jesus was testing Philip to see what Philip's response would be. There were 5,000 men there, women and children, maybe 10,000 people. And Jesus said, why don't you give them something? And he was testing him to see how would he respond. Sometimes God allows us to face an impossible situation to test us. To see how we are going to face
are
we going to look at our resources and say, well, it's difficult to meet this need? Are we going to go to the Lord and say, well, Lord, with your help we can handle it? Philip did not think of trusting in the Lord. Philip sort of assessed how many people are there and calculated how much it would cost.
And
he said, if you get 200 denarii worth of bread, even that will be not enough.
Hmm.
One denarii was one day's wages.
So
200 denarii means 7 or 8 months' wages. He says, with that much money, it's still not enough to feed all these people. And even that, we don't have. And then we read that there was this little lad there, verse 9, who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, what's the use of that? So Jesus said, never mind, make them sit down. And then you know the story, he took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed it. It says in verse 11, they could have as much as they want.
He
didn't tell them, now be careful, there may not be enough for everybody. He said, as much as you want, you can have. What have we learned there? The same two lessons. Without me, the Lord says, you can do nothing. Even if you take 7 months wages and you have a lot of money, you think money will solve the problem? There are lots of people who work in these Gulf countries who think that money can solve everything. Some of you may be sitting here thinking that if you make a little more money, that will solve all your problems. I've read the stories of a lot of millionaires who committed suicide. It doesn't solve every problem. Philip calculated that money couldn't solve the problem. In a place like this where you earn so much money, I hope you will learn one thing. And that is that money cannot solve every problem. Just because you earned a massive amount of money and you got a house and you got plenty of savings and the interest comes to so much every month, you think that solve all your problems? You got to be off your head to think that money will solve all your problems. No, it won't. What was the Lord teaching here? Even if you have money, Philip, it will not solve your problem. But if you have very little, and the blessing of the Lord is upon it, and it will solve whatever the problem is. This little boy had so little. He gave everything to the Lord. And the Lord blessed
him.
Nowadays, many people say it's so expensive to feed a family, I'd better have only one child or two children. Yeah, well, I'm not here to tell you how many children you should have. But I want to tell you, if the blessing of the Lord is on your life, you can feed
5,000.
But if you don't have that, any amount of money, you will be struggling. If you seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, all the other things will be added. I've proved that over 32 years. What David said is true. I have been young and now I am an old man, but I have never seen a righteous man forsaken. And I have never seen a righteous man's children begging for bread. How does that happen? Because the blessing of the Lord takes care of many things which money cannot take care of. Those of you who have come here and labored so hard in the heat and everything to make money, I wish you would labor just as hard to get God's blessing upon your life. Because money will not solve all your problems. For example, money will not make you happy.
உதாரணமாயிட்ட பணத்தை நீங்களே சந்தோஷமாக சாதுமல்ல.
You know who was the happiest man who walked on this earth?
லோகத்தில் இந்த பூமியின் பரப்பில் சந்தோஷத்தோடு நடந்தா அன்னையன்
தரையும். The man who said, I don't have a place to lay my head.
அது என்ன தலையை பாரிட்ட இல்லை என்று சொல்லியா?
That was Jesus.
அது இயேசு கிறிஸ்துவான்.
And he lived on this earth and proved that you can be happy even if you don't have money.
ஈ லோகத்தில் இந்த பூமியில் ஜீவித்து உங்களுக்கு தலையை பாரிட்ட அவசியமில்லை என்று நான் ஏற்றும் சந்தோஷமாக நடக்குமா சொல்லியிருக்கிறார் இயேசு.
So don't think that money will solve all your problems.
அவருடைய பணத்தினுடைய எல்லா காரியங்களும்
பிரயோஜனம். The blessing of the Lord will. God the blessing of the Lord.
அல்லாஹ் கர்த்தாவின் அனுகிரகம் எல்லா பிரச்சனைகளுக்கும் பரிகாரமா.
You need to be like a little boy.
என்னால சிறுவனாய் போய்
ஆமென். Lord, this is little I have, but it's all yours.
கர்த்தாவே, இந்த அல்பமே உள்ளது, எல்லாத்தையும் முழுவதும் எனக்கானது.
You know, Jesus came to earth to teach selfish people to be unselfish.
யோதிலே பார்க்கமதிராயிட்டவனே உதாரவதிராக்குவாராயிட்டு படிச்சுபாரானே இயேசுவோ.
To teach those who have 5 loaves and 2 fish and who want to sit in a corner and eat it all by themselves to give it to him.
அந்த புத்தண்டரியும் கொண்டுவந்த சேஷ ஒரு மூலையில தனியே நின்னதே உரியாயிட்டது மற்றவர் கொடுப்பாராயிட்டு படிச்சுகிறானே இயேசுவோ.
அனி வேண்டா
இவ்வளவு படிச்சிட்டோம்.
So if you've got more than 5 loaves and 2 fish and you're sitting in a corner calculating it and seeing how you and your children can enjoy
eating
it. That's why the life is so unhappy. Don't just sit with your loaves and fish in some corner for you and your children to enjoy.
ഒരു മൂലയ്ക്ക് നിന്നുകൊണ്ട് നിങ്ങളുടെ അപ്പവും മീനും നിങ്ങൾക്ക് നിങ്ങളുടെ മക്കൾക്കുമായിട്ട് ആസ്വദിക്കാൻ ശ്രമിച്ചാൽ
നിങ്ങൾക്ക്
നിങ്ങളെ തന്നെ വിദ്യാലയം വിളിച്ചുകൊണ്ട് ഒരു മീറ്റിംഗിന് പോവുകയും കൈയടിക്കുകയും പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുകയൊക്കെ ചെയ്യാം.
True disciple of Jesus is one who takes that and says, Lord, I give that to you and you can bless others
through it. ഇതെടുത്ത് പറയും, എനിക്ക് അർത്ഥമുള്ളത് ഞാൻ പൂർണ്ണമായിട്ട് നിനക്ക് ഏൽപ്പിക്കുന്നു, നിനക്ക് എന്ത്
ചെയ്യാനുള്ള അവകാശം.
ആ ചെറുപ്പക്കാരനെ അവന്റെ കർത്താവിന് കൊടുത്തപ്പോൾ അവന്റെ ജീവിതത്തിൽ എത്ര സന്തുഷ്ടകരമായിരുന്നു അവൻ ചെയ്തത്.
I sometimes wonder whether he was the only one who had a little bit of food there with him. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 19 years old.
19 vayasu kodraaniya ante jeevitha kathaavane eduthu
40 years ago.
40 varsham
mundu. One of the things I decided then was that everything that is mine would belong to the Lord.
Naan adu theermaanam eduthu enikkulladellam kathaavane.
I never regretted it.
Adhe kurichu naan orikkal polum
never regretted it all these years.
Ee kanjam 40 varsham aayittu
Lord everything I have is yours. I don't want to come to you to get, I want to come to you to give. Christian world is full of people who are coming to the Lord to get. When you get something from the Lord, you get blessing, sure. You get forgiveness of sins, isn't that a blessing?
നിങ്ങൾക്ക് പാപത്തിന് ലഭിക്കുന്നത് ഒരു
അനുഗ്രഹമല്ലേ? നിങ്ങൾക്ക്
സൗഖ്യം ലഭിക്കുന്നത് ധാരാളം
കാര്യങ്ങൾ
അത് ഒരു അനുഗ്രഹമുണ്ട്.
But Jesus said,
നരേശ് പറഞ്ഞു,
it is more blessed to give than to
receive. നൽകുന്നത് വാങ്ങുന്നതിനേക്കാൾ നല്ലത്.
I'm not saying there is no blessing in receiving.
വാങ്ങുന്നതിൽ അനുഗ്രഹം ഇല്ല എന്ന് പറയുന്നില്ല.
But Jesus said, it is more blessing. You get more blessing when you learn to give.
നൽകുവാൻ പഠിക്കുന്നതിന്റെ ഏറെ അനുഗ്രഹം ലഭിക്കുന്നതാണ്.
Don't count how much you got from the Lord.
കർത്താവിൽ നിന്ന് എത്ര ലഭിച്ചു എന്ന് എണ്ണരുത്.
I got this, I got that, and I got the other thing. Wonderful. But ask yourself how much you gain. If you have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, can you trust the Lord with that? Or you feel you must keep it to yourself? Well, this boy trusted the Lord and gave it.
And
the result was 10,000 people got a meal.
And
the blessing of the Lord was upon him.
Thereby
Jesus again taught his disciples, with me, you can do everything. However great the need, I don't want to do it alone. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus could have made bread from nothing? Do you think Jesus could have taken those stones from the mountainside and made bread from that? Yes or no?
Sure.
He could have made fish from those stones. No problem. Why didn't he do it alone? Because he wanted to teach his disciples. I never do things alone. I always want to do it in fellowship with other human beings.
In
this particular case, he was a little boy. In Cana, it was those servants. No, servants. See, Jesus always picks up the people whom others don't value. When you go to a wedding, reception, how many people are interested in the servants and the waiters? They are the most unimportant people at the reception. Jesus says, I will take them, these most unimportant people, and I will use them to do the miracle. Who cares for little boys? Nobody. Jesus said, I'll take one of these little boys and I'll do a miracle for them. Every miracle is a parable. What are you learning from that? That Jesus picks up those whom other people don't value. And through them, he does greater miracles than through all these clever, smart, gifted rich
people.
So it's good for you and me to be humble. It's good for us to realize we're not. And some of you who feel that you're not so clever, not so smart, and not so capable, I want to tell you that God wants to use
you.
You may be a servant, you may be a boy. It doesn't make a difference. There was a time when Jesus wanted to come riding into Jerusalem. And usually kings ride on horses. And this is the greatest king of all, the king of kings. So actually he should get the best horse in Israel. But you know what he picked up? He picked up a donkey. He told his disciples, go there and collect that donkey. And if somebody asks, why are you taking him, say to him, the Lord needs this donkey. What a wonderful message. Even if you're as stupid as a donkey, the Lord says the Lord needs
you.
I praise God for that.
I've
many times told the Lord, I say, Lord, I'm clever in earthly things, but when it comes to your word, I'm really stupid like a donkey. I don't understand it.
But
you rode on a donkey and you can ride on me, no problem.
He
picks up the weak. He uses those who are despised like a donkey.
Fisherman.
A little boy.
Why?
With him we can do everything. And he used his disciples there. See, there's something interesting there. In the world we people think always in terms of efficiency. Now, if you have 10,000 people and you want to distribute food in an efficient
way,
then you must ask for volunteers. If you get 1,000 volunteers and each person serves 10 people, the job is done very quickly. But Jesus did not ask for volunteers. He called his 12 disciples. And when 12 disciples have to feed 10,000 people, remember each disciple has to feed about
800.
Is that an efficient way or an inefficient way? Human speaking is a very inefficient
way.
What a long time to feed one man has to feed 800
people.
But you know, God cannot use volunteers. He can only use disciples. And he has only 12 disciples. He used only 12 disciples. And if it takes a longer time, let it take a longer time. Efficiency is not the main thing. God cannot use everyone. Your life is not clean, he cannot use
you.
If you are not dedicated, he cannot use you. God never calls for volunteers. Never. He says, if you want to be a disciple, come. And a disciple is one. Primary characteristic of a disciple is Jesus Christ is number one in his life. You know why God can't use many of you? Even though you volunteer. But Jesus Christ is not first in your life. He's not supreme in your life. Other things are more important for you. You're volunteering. Yeah, God will use you to distribute the books and arrange the chairs, sure.
But
if you want your life to be useful in terms of eternity, be a disciple. Jesus never called for volunteers. He called his 12 disciples and said, never mind how long it takes, I only use disciples. And those disciples have to serve others even when they themselves are hungry. It's not easy to be a disciple. Because you've got to serve others and think of their needs even when your stomach is empty. See, when Jesus came to earth, he thought of the need of others and not his own need. If he had thought of his own need, he would have stayed in heaven. He'd never have come here. Jesus came because there were other people in need.
லோகத்திற்கு வந்தது என்ற பிரதான காரணம்
மற்றவர்
சொந்த ஆபத்து
மற்றவர்கள். When a person is a disciple of Jesus, he becomes like that. He thinks of the need of other people and not his own.
The
disciple is one who doesn't think of his own convenience or his own stomach, but, Lord, can I be a blessing to somebody else?
Because
that's how you work. You
want to
be like that? For many of you, Christianity is just a little extra thing which is added on to the other more important things in your life. You know, like in a meal, you have a little pickle. Pickle is not the most important thing. There are many more important, wonderful dishes on the table. There is chicken and fish and so many other things. A little
bit.
In your life, there are many things like that. Christianity is like a little tickle you got on your
table.
Yeah, you have a little bit of that also. It's not the biggest thing in your life. No wonder your life is not a blessing to others. No wonder your life is not like a river of living water. It will never be until Christianity is the main thing in your life. Everybody else in the world is like
you.
If you make that decision today, things may be different in your life. That's how those disciples served. They also were hungry. Watch them forget your hunger and feed the others. And they served them as much as they wanted. And how is the Lord caring for his servants? You know, finally, what he gave them? You read here that he gave them one basket each. Loaves and fish. And say, you thought you could get nothing? I'm going to give you much more than all these people. There's one basket you can take home. If you serve the Lord faithfully in your life, you seek His kingdom first and put Him first in your life. Not your own comfort, not money, not honor. The kingdom of God to be a blessing to other people. You will find when you come to the end of the life God has got a basket for you. That is God's will. If you give Him, He'll give you back 100-fold. Without Him, you can do nothing. You think you can do a lot of things without Him? One day you will discover at the end of your life it is all amounted to
zero.
In spite of your huge house and large bank account, you will discover that your life amounted to zero as far as God's kingdom is concerned.
But
if you're like this young boy who gave everything, then you will find a different story at the end of your life. The choice is yours. Time is slipping by, many of you are growing old. Make use of the time that is
mine.
While I have the thought in prayer, I want to invite you to respond to the word of God that you have heard this evening. We're not asking you to join a denomination. We're asking you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Totally, completely.
You
say, Lord, I want to give you all that I have. Everything. Totally, completely. I want your blessing upon my life. I don't want my life to be like a trickle like it has been so far. I want it to be like a river. Lord, help me in this year change the direction of my life. Take things seriously. Heavenly Father, you know that those who are sincere here tonight, you know the hearts of everyone. You know those who are calling upon you with a sense of need. Please be with them tonight.
Amen.
Amen.